Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we are studying Perek Chaf Aleph of Melachim Bet. Today we will focus on the characters Menashe, son of Chizkiyahu, and Amon, son of Menashe. Rabbi Alex Israel terms this time period the religious low point of the First Temple era. Menashe is the son that Chizkiyahu originally did not wish to bring into this world. Despite his wicked ways, he is granted 55 years of rule, the longest of any other king. He is compared to Achav, Melech Yisrael, in his idolatrous ways, building bamot that had been previously removed, Asherah trees, and sacrificing to the Baal. He even built mizbachot to other gods in the Beit HaMikdash complex itself. His acts are ironically compared in Pasuk Bet to those of the Kanaani nations that were driven out of Eretz Yisrael years before. As it says, "Kitoavot hagoyim asher horish Hashem mipnei bnei Yisrael." As if that wasn't enough, it also mentions in Pasuk Vav his practice of molech, divination and sorcery. He did many acts that angered Hashem, including, according to the Radak, extinguishing the fire that was on the Mizbeach from the times of Shlomo. If these descriptions remind you of Achaz, his grandfather, you would be on the right track. Achaz had placed an idol in the upper chamber of the Beit HaMikdash. However, here in Pasuk Zion, Menashe places a pesel in the bayit itself. He also leads the people astray, and they do not even seem to protest his actions. Menashe's terrible acts are recorded in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Gimel, 103, alongside Achaz, and he is known for having taken his horrific acts even one step further. In Pasuk Tet Zion, we're told that Menashe spilled innocent blood. This could be the blood of those people who opposed him. This Pasuk is also brought in Sanhedrin to be referring to the death of Yeshayahu, the Navi himself, and that Menashe was the one to kill Yeshayahu, who was considered equivalent to the lives of many people. Through this pasuk, we can see how Menashe takes things to a new level from Achaz, in that Achaz's sins were violations in the Ben Adam L'Makom category, between man and God, while here Menashe is venturing into the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, between man and his friend, as well. The Mishnah in the 10th Perek of Sanhedrin groups together three people who have no chelek in Olam Haba: Yeravam, Achav, and Menashe. They each were innovative in the spread of Avodah Zarah among the nation, from Yeravam's temples, to Achav initiating Baal worship in Yisrael, to Menashe's taking idolatry to new levels in Yehuda and the Beit HaMikdash. The fact that Menashe was king for so long allowed his additions to the Avodah Zarah landscape in Yehuda to truly take form and become the new reality. The prophetic message delivered during his time is that of the destruction of Yerushalayim and Yehuda. Hashem says in Pasuk Yud Bet that it will be so horrible, Asher kol shom av titzalna shtei oznav, anyone who hears about its ears will tingle. There is no Navi mentioned by name here. Menashe killed Yeshayahu, so he was no longer Navi during this time. Rashi identifies the Nevi'im that are referenced in Pasuk Yud as Nachum and Chavakuk, both part of the Treyasar. But they are not named, as if to distance their association with Menashe, the Rasha. Yerushalayim, we're told, is going to suffer the same fate as Shomron, and the punishment in Pasuk Yud Gimel is described as originating from above, indicating from Hashem. Yehuda is considered the She'erit, the remnant, because the Ten Shvatim have already been exiled. The destruction is coined as a Tzalachat Macha V'Hafach Al Paneha, a dish that is wiped and turned upside down, in Pasuk Yud Gimel. According to the Malbim, this metaphor is indicating that just like after one washes a dish, it is turned over to dry and thereby not utilized, so too will Yerushalayim be destroyed and overturned, with all removed from her and no one being able to enter or use her. Menashe was king during the peak of Ashur's empire and totally embraced their culture, living under his rule. This is another similarity to Achaz, who also sinned greatly by embracing the culture of Damesek when Ashur first took over from Aram. Yirmiyahu, in describing the punishment and destruction to come to the people in a little bit of a later time, totally pins it on Menashe. In Perek Tedvav of Sefer Yirmiyahu, Pasuk Dalid, Hashem pins the destruction that will come and the horror of the nation will become to all the kingdoms of the earth on Menashe. Unetatim l'za'ava l'chol mamlechot ha'aretz biglal Menashe ben Chizkiyahu, Melech Yehuda, al asher asa b'Yerushalayim. As we have seen before, Divrei Hayamim Bet offers additional information about the Malchei Yehuda. In this case, Menashe's end is given a dramatically different spin there. In Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Lamed Gimel, Menashe is taken prisoner by Ashur with a hook put in his nose, bronze chains, and taken to Bavel. It was at this low point that he turned to Hashem in prayer. As a result, Hashem brings him back to Yerushalayim. After this recognition of Hashem's strength, Menashe rebuilds the outer wall of Ir David and removed Avodah Zarah and idols from the Beit HaMikdash and restored the Korbanot. His influence extended to the people of Yehuda and he told them to serve Hashem. Why does Malachim not make mention of any of these positive things about Menashe? We can understand Sefer Malachim as trying to build the case for what led the people of Yehuda to the Korban Beit HaMikdash and Galut. Menashe's influence played a big factor, and the acts of tshuva he displayed did not undo the 50-plus years of idolatrous and rebellious behavior. From a historical perspective, we can understand how omitting these details makes sense. However, these additions in Divrei Hayamim are crucial in having a full picture of the character of Menashe, and seeing that, similar to Achav or Izebel, that even despite the evil behavior, there was some form of redemption. Sanhedrin does describe that the angels tried to interfere with Hashem's acceptance of the prayers of Menashe by blocking pathways to the Kisei HaKavod. But Hashem teaches them the need to convey to all potential sinners that there is always some opening to return. Accordingly, Hashem was said to have made a small opening under his Kisei HaKavod to accept the tefillah of Menashe. This concept of tshuva is seen as a theme in Divrei Hayamim, driving home the point that there is always a chance to return, no matter how bad past actions were, which fits historically with what Ezra, the author of Divrei Hayamim, would have wanted to convey to the people during his time. The Malbim identifies Tehillim, Perek Samech Vav, 66, as what Menashe said when he returned from his captivity, which you can check out for homework. Due to his overall legacy, Menashe is not buried in Ir David, but in the garden of his house. Amon, starting with Pasuk Yud Tet of our Perek in Malachim, follows in the way of his father as described earlier in Perek Chafalaf of Malachim. His starting point was already a sinful stance. The Gemara we referenced earlier in Sanhedrin describes how Amon took his father's bold moves a step further. While his father put an idol in the Beit HaMikdash, which was a step further than Achaz, Amon put the idol in the Kodesh Kodashim. Divrei Hayamim Bet does treat Menashe differently than Amon and does not record any tshuva for Amon. In Divrei Hayamim, when Menashe gets rid of the Avodah Zarah as part of his tshuva campaign, it says he took the gods and the Mizbachot vayashlech chutza la'ir. He disposed of them outside the city. Rashi points out that because they were not destroyed or buried, Amon was able to recover them. It explicitly says he took the idols of his father and restores them to their places in the city itself. Amon meets his end through assassination in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, although the assassinators are then also killed by the Am Haaretz, people of the land, in Pasuk Chaf Dalid. Amon too was buried alongside his father and not in Ir David, and his son Yoshiyahu assumes the throne. Amon's redemption can be seen in the form of his son, Yoshiyahu, who will try to restore the kingdom to serving Hashem in the next perek. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.